understood God, we would be Him. Since we're not, we do our best to obey Him. How's that? Would you bow your heads, please? Father, without You, we can do nothing that is of any value. We can do an awful lot trying to create out of our own. But we don't succeed because it's born of flesh and it creates a problem. So I'm asking You for Your word this morning to come alive so that the saints can be changed and dramatically overwhelmed by God's grace and His love. Amen? I want to take you to John chapter 13 this morning because that's where He said to go, so we're going to go. And of course, for me, John 13 goes way, way back to the very first time that the foot washing service at Grace had really irritated and brought forth things inside of me that I didn't even know was resident there. How many know sometimes there's stuff that's made visible to you for the first time and you don't like it? And when you don't like it, God has an opportunity as you lift it back up to Him to release His fire. And the verse that He pressed in first was verse 13. So, John 13:13. You call Me teacher, and I'm using the Amplified this morning, Master and the Lord, and You are right in doing so, for that is what I am. Okay? If you call Me teacher, which is Rabbi, and the Lord, you are right in doing so, for that is what I am. When our Savior is pressed to talk to His disciples at this particular time slot in His life, He's really trying to push some incredible buttons because He's pushed them to the edge. So verse 1 says, before the Passover feast began, Jesus knew, Amplified, was fully aware that the time had come for Him to leave this world. There's your cemetery. I'm convinced in my heart that the Father did not leave out any details of Jesus' future. I'm convinced that He made it clear to Him that He was going to be crucified and then He was going to be buried. But I don't believe He gave Him the fullness of the picture with all the details, because He never gives me all the details. He gives me an end picture, a photograph sometimes of the future, but not all of how I'm going to get to that particular place, because He still respects my free will to stop at anywhere I want. Amen? How many of you know what I'm talking about is true? Put your hands up. So, if it's true for you and me, and Jesus was 100% man, He had emptied Himself, He was just like the rest of us in that He needed to be able to make the decision to go forward. Or, at any point, He could say, no more, I can't go on. So that He can relate to you and I. And we can relate to Him. Because where He was able to conquer is every place that Adam failed. Catching on? Where Adam fell short, Jesus filled in the blank. Where Adam made a wrong decision, Jesus made a right decision. Yes? Okay. So He, being resident in you and I, will give us the ability to make the right decision. It is with that flood of grace and mercy that He overwhelms us so that we can become all that He's called us to be. So, the time had come for Him to leave this world and return to the Father. And as He had loved those who were His own in the world, who were His own? 12. Not 5,000. Not 3,000. 12. Correct? And one makes a bad decision. So that shuts it down to 11. He loved them to the last and to the highest degree. He loved them to the what? Highest degree. And to the last. In other words, all the way to the end. So during supper, Satan, having already put the thoughts of betraying Jesus in the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's hand, and that he had come from God and was now returning to God, got up from the supper, took off his garment, and taking a servant's towel, he fastened it around his waist. Then he poured water in a wash basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and wipe them with a towel with which he was girded. When he came to Simon Peter, Peter said to him, Lord, are my feet to be washed by you? Is it for you to wash my feet? Is it for you to wash my feet? Jesus said to him, you do not understand now what I am doing, but you will understand later on. Multiples of times, those words have come alive in me. As I'm going through a test and I don't understand, I remind myself, later on, I will catch on. So close your eyes right now and say, Lord Jesus, many times, when I don't understand my test, later on, I will understand. Even at the moment when I'm angry or hurt or disappointed, later on, I'll understand your motive. And I will understand. See, that's a promise for me. He said to Peter, you don't understand, but later on you will. You'll get educated. Rather than complaining and complaining, if we simply trust that he will make it clear, down the road, we'll understand what he's up to. And most of the time, he's trying to clean me up. Because notice again, the process is to wash his feet. So Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. Why? Why is Peter so upset about somebody washing his feet? Who can give me a clue? Pride, yes. And what else? Yes, because don't forget, they wore sandals, it was sweaty, it was hot, it was muggy. I mean, I don't know about you, but that's also in the natural. Dr. Bob, isn't the foot the place where all the sweat and the chemicals of the sweat that comes out of your body come out of your feet? Water runs downhill. Good. Good answer. Yeah, that's the kind answer. I know myself, if I am, you know, working outside and I'm walking around with, you know, sandals on, let's face it, the feet do get dirty. And I even use a brush. Why? Because you got to scrub. Okay? But you see, there's a spiritual involvement here. It's also concerning where you walk. And Jesus is trying to educate this man. Wait a minute. It's where you've walked that I'm talking about. It's a spiritual concept as well as a natural. Okay? And yes, there was some pride in Peter, and I believe that he was also fearful. He really didn't want his Savior because he knew Jesus was Lord. He had a knowledge of that. He was also aware of what the Heavenly Father had revealed to him. He is the Most High. He's the Messiah. So there's a godly fear involved. But But God was trying to set an example. I'm the one that's going to clean up your walk. If you let me. Okay? Verse 8 again, it's important. Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, and you won't like the answer. "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me. Or you have no part in me. No share in companionship." Whoa! "No share in companionship with me." Digestion time. No share. I mean, talk about getting nailed to the wall. Yes? That's when you really got to make a decision, and Peter did. Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, wash not only my feet, but my hands and my head too." Jesus said to him, "Anyone who is bathed needs not to wash except his feet." What's he talking about? His walk. What was the crisis that was about to take place in Peter? Yeah. Denial. And God would let it happen. Did you ever deny a friend? Get caught in a wedge and you're afraid and you don't want to... Yes. And fear comes in and you end up going in the wrong direction, saying the wrong thing at the wrong time. None of you have ever done that. But I have. Okay? But the bottom line is, when I've done it, I've had to recapture and repent, change my mind. And when I couldn't change my mind, I said, "Jesus, please, would you wash my feet? Would you wash my brain? Would you wash my heart out? Clean it up. I don't want it anymore. I'm making choices from the wrong anointing." "And you, my disciples, are clean, but not all of you. But except," again, verse 10, "except his feet, but is clean all over. And you, my disciples, are clean, but not all of you." Why? Because he knew who was going to betray him. That was the reason he said, "You are not all of you clean." So when he had finished washing their feet, put on his garments, sat down again, he said to them, "Do you understand what I have done for you? You call me teacher, master, and the Lord, and you are right in doing so. That is what I am. If I, then, your Lord and teacher, master, have washed your feet, you ought, it is your duty. You are under obligation. You owe it to wash one another's feet." What is he talking about? He's talking about prayer. Have intercession when you see someone fall short. He's talking about you picking up the pieces when you see your brother having a hard time with something, going in the wrong direction. Not always speaking out to that person. They might not need to hear how ugly their walk is. But they might be finding you on your knees as you intercede for them to come up a little higher. And to be transformed into what God has already planned for them. But if Satan has put a thought in their minds, okay, and they allow Satan to come in, which is what was happening with Judas, Jesus respected his decision. Jesus respected his decision. Yes or no? Okay. Verse 15. "I have given you this as an example, so that you should do in your turn what I have done to you. I assure you, most solemnly I tell you, a servant is no greater than his master. And no one who is sent is superior to the one who sent him. So he's also telling you, I'm going to be sending you down the road as apostles to the nations. Don't ever think you're better than the one who sent you. Because you're dependent on him every step of the way. You can go to the market and talk about Jesus. But don't ever go around thinking that you've just put a couple more epaulettes on your shoulders, because you did such a great job. You see, the spirit that sends you is not the spirit of pride that you brought somebody to the Lord, but it's the spirit of humility that says, wow, look what God has done through me. Look what the Holy Ghost allowed me to be an instrument to bring somebody to salvation. Because it also says that the fruits, whatever fruits you get, will be the end result. Amen? 17. If you know these things, blessed and happy and to be envied, are you, if you practice them. Amen? If you act accordingly and really do them. There is a season to see the mistake in somebody else's walk, that you are going to pick them up and hold them before the Father and say, Father, forgive them. They have no clue. They don't know what they're doing to themselves or to you. Amen? Oh, I got to get a better amen on that. Amen. Thank you. I am not speaking of, and I do not mean all of you. I know whom I have chosen. Has he a knowledge of his choice of you? Yes. He knows why he chose you. I can remember one time I was totally disgusted because I had just goofed. And I said, God, what is wrong? Why didn't you choose somebody better than me? And you know what he said? Didn't I know that Peter was going to flip and go in the wrong direction, but didn't I warn him? Did I choose him because he was full of strength, or did I choose him including his weaknesses? Did he choose you because you're so sweet and so perfect? Or did he choose you to recapture everything that went wrong in you and to restore you so that you'll look like him? I know whom I have chosen, but it is that the scriptures may be fulfilled. He who eats his bread with me has raised up his heel against me. He's talking about who? Judas. I tell you this now before it occurs, so that when it does take place, you may be persuaded and believe that I am he, that what I say I am, the Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah. Is he trying to hide it? No. I assure you most solemnly, I tell you, he who receives and welcomes and takes into his heart any messenger of mine, are you his messenger? God, you're weak. Are you his messenger?
Yes.
Say, yes, I am.
Yes, I am.
Therefore, if they receive me, they're receiving Christ Jesus. Again, verse 20 is very, very important. You should put a circle around it, study it, so that you'll understand who you are in Christ. I assure you most solemnly, I tell you, he who receives and welcomes and takes into his heart any messenger of mine receives me in just that way. And he who receives and welcomes and takes me into his heart receives him who sent me in the same way. What a word. What a reality check of who you and I represent. We are ambassadors. And when we go out to do a work, we're what? A representative of heaven in the earth. We're there to give them life and fullness of love and ready to wash their feet. ready to intercede until they do it right. After Jesus had said these things, he was troubled and disturbed and agitated in spirit, and said, I assure you most solemnly, I tell you that one of you will deliver me up. So do you think he was comfortable with what Judas was about to do? No. There was a stirring inside his belly. That's his spirit. How many of you have ever had a stirring inside your belly, and you know something's wrong? And you may even be aware that somebody's about to stab you in the back. And you know it. And you can't tell anybody. Amen? You can't. Because you know that this is a setup. What is it for? What's the purpose of it? So that you'll pray for their walk. Pray that they what? Get the job done quickly. Yeah. Not comfortable, but definitely God. I assure you most solemnly, I tell you, that one of you will deliver me up, be false to me, and betray me. And the disciples kept looking at one another, puzzled, as to whom he could mean. One of his disciples whom Jesus loved, who is he talking about? John, himself. Whom he esteemed and delighted in, was reclining next to him on Jesus' bosom. So Simon Peter motioned to him to ask, of whom he was speaking. So why is Peter active in this thing? Because there's something stirring in Peter. Peter's nosy. He must be related to me. Then leaning back again, Jesus' breast, he asked him, Lord, who is it? And Jesus answered, it is the one to whom I am going to give this morsel, or this bit of food, after I have dipped it. So when he had dipped the morsel of bread into the dish, he gave it to Judas, Simon Iscariot's son. Then, after he had taken the bit of food, the next part is very important. Satan entered into and took possession of Judas. So who's in control of Judas? Who's in control of the betrayal? Judas is what? A tool and a dummy. He's not pulling the strings anymore. So much for when you're being betrayed. So much for when you are being misused and abused. Who's in the control room of that person that is stabbing you in the back? The end result is your battle is not against flesh and blood. But watch the response. The response should be an education to you. Satan entered into and took possession of Judas. Jesus said to him, what you are going to do, do more swiftly than you seem to intend, and make quick work of it. Literally, go and get it over with. Do it! Why? Because it has to be. Amen. Go do quickly. You know, I remember that there were seasons in my life where I questioned about this, and I said to the Lord, I'm not getting it. He says it was ordained that I was to be crucified before the world began. And I knew the job of the Anointed One was to lay down his life. I knew it. Yet I still said yes. I knew that there was one that was ordained to be betrayed. Had to be. Now close your eyes. Don't look at each other. Just close your eyes. Put your right hand to the Lord. Say, Lord Jesus, some were ordained to persecute me, even to stab me in the back. It was all ordained of you to get me to see who and what I need to trust in. My Messiah, my Savior, my Jesus, already laid down His life. Not just for me, but for those who have betrayed me as well. Even those who were ashamed of me. Even those who walked behind my back and lied about me. I choose as an act of my will today to set them free. And I ask, my Heavenly Father, who knows all things, to set them free. Hold no sin against them. Because my prayer is that you save them and set them free to be glorified someday and be a Christian brother or sister to me. Because that's why Jesus came. Not to judge, not to find fault, but to bring salvation to the whole world. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Freedom.
Yes.
Freedom.
Yes. Sorrow.